Well, here we are for our roundtable, and in continuing the theme of generally hard topics to address, we're going to talk about anxiety and depression in dating, whether or not you're struggling with this, or maybe you are dating someone who this is a struggle for them. How do you navigate this space? Should you be dating as a person who struggles with anxiety and depression? You know, at what level? What does it look like for you to take ownership of that? So fortunately, we have got some friends here to help us in the conversation. We have Logan, MT, and Savannah. Hey, y'all.
Hello. Hello.
How are you going?
All right. Well, thanks for being here. And I want to kind of start off by, because we're going to share a little bit in our story. And of course, MT, you have to jump in also in an official role because you're a licensed counselor. And so you have to speak kind of, you know, you can talk from dating experience as well as put on a professional hat. We always like it when our counselors can
you need to have all the right answers.
Jump in. But let's talk a little bit just as by way of introduction, personal story a little bit. I know, Logan, you've had some struggles with anxiety and are in a relationship. So yeah. Clearly very real to you right now.
Yeah, so about, how long ago? Maybe a year and a half ago, I went through a really bad season of anxiety, and I had never dealt with it before, and, like, it was getting to the point where I was losing sleep at night. Like, I was sleeping maybe 3 or 4 hours a night, max, and sometimes it would manifest itself in, like, physical symptoms, and I'd feel sick, and I actually ended up going to counseling because of it, and somewhere along that line, I started dating my girlfriend. And through that, it's been an interesting ride. A lot of the anxiety, I think, has come from, me first and foremost, just not being secure in who I was. And so it translates into a relationship pretty poorly. And so when I started dating her, the thing that kept on bringing up anxiety was like, well, I don't know what she's thinking of me right now. I don't know. I just did this thing. And what did she think about that? Or, and constantly thinking like, I'm not good enough, or I'm constantly messing up. And it was affecting me to the point where, like I said earlier, I was losing sleep. I was physically getting sick. I remember one day, like, I almost wanted to go home from work because I was like, I can't focus right now because something had happened. We actually had a little bit of conflict in our relationship. And so my mind immediately went to worst case scenario. Okay. Like, she's going to break up with me. She's going to do this or that. And which ended up not being true. But yeah, it's been something that I've had to deal with a lot throughout the relationship. I've gotten a lot better, and counseling has helped me so much to be able to fight through some of that and learn good practices for how to handle it and conversations with her, meaning my girlfriend, about like, hey, I'm experiencing this right now. Let's like work through this together. So it's been an interesting ride. But yeah, it's definitely something I've dealt with for most of the relationship.
Okay. Savannah, tell us a little bit about your story as well.
Yeah, so I have clinical anxiety, and we had known when I was younger that I had anxiety, but I wasn't actually officially diagnosed with anxiety until I was 18 years old. And so that was kind of an interesting, like, going through life. Like, you're pretty sure you have anxiety, but you're not really sure, like, how to deal with it, how to cope with it, what's really going on, like, pretty much all of, like, the science behind it. I pretty much got it under control when I was middle school, probably. And I felt like I dealt with it pretty well. It was just kind of situational anxiety at that point.
And when you say you got it under control, how?
I learned how I could cope with anxiety better than I did when I was younger.
Okay.
And then I went through a really bad breakup about a year ago, and I completely spiraled, went through a phase of the worst anxiety I've ever seen in my life. And to the point where I was obsessed with working out and, like, what I would call, like, a healthy lifestyle. And I was working out 7 days a week, like, really forcing myself to work out 7 days a week. And I ended up losing about 15 pounds in 2 months. Just a really serious phase of depression and not sleeping and having panic attacks at night. And then kind of going through church and counseling and all of that is what kind of pulled me out of that phase. But it's okay. Just something that, you know, I'm always going to have anxiety.
Yeah.
Just learning how to cope with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. MT, help us just kind of as we take a couple steps back, help us understand, because a lot of people are listening and they're like, yeah, you know, I've gone through breakups or I've been stressed too and stuff. What is the difference between just life stressing you out and dealing with hardship and a lot of pressures versus something that would be considered a bona fide clinical depression or anxiety?
Well, and I was just sitting here thinking about the stories. I mean, everybody deals with ups and downs, right? The undulations of life, mm-hmm. up and down. Mm-hmm. And so everybody deals with fear, anxiety, sadness, and whatnot. But there's a line that gets crossed. It's continuum, really. It's not, hey, these people don't have it, and these people over here do have it. It's how much of it do you have? Mm-hmm. And does it cross a line into what they term clinically significant in mm-hmm. the field? Usually that has to do with biology. You know, if it's everybody has circumstances that are tough to deal with, and, you know, our bodies respond. We're body, soul, spirit beings, and so mm-hmm. all of us respond to the circumstances. But for some of us, we have biology that's sort of tipped in a certain direction to where we have a harder time dealing with those circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're having trouble sleeping, if you're having trouble with, you know, your diet, if you're having trouble with crying and you don't even have a bad circumstance that's mm-hmm. going on, mm-hmm. you know, if you're thinking thoughts about, you know, suicide. I mean, there's things that occur, or if you're having trouble breathing that leads into like a panic attack. Mm-hmm. These are things that, you know, people need to get help for that are not just circumstantially based.
Okay.
The other thing I was thinking about is, you know, if you're thinking about getting in a relationship, I think the attitude we bring to relationships matters. If we're thinking about getting into a relationship, we need to know that relationship, no matter how it turns out, will test the very fabric of who we are. Mm-hmm. If it turns out well, then that person's going to get in your space and it's going to feel very uncomfortable and it's going to trigger any anxiety or depression you may be dealing. If it doesn't go well, well, then the disappointment of that mm-hmm. will trigger regardless, yeah. we're going to have to deal with it. So we need to know that going into it and have the support system necessary to be able to weather that.
Okay. So, you know, specifically Logan and Savannah, I'd love you to talk to how do you, when you reach that fork in the road, how do you decide where you're going? Because Logan, clearly you were in a relationship, mm-hmm. you ended up doing counseling. Mm-hmm. What made you choose that route versus, nope, I'm not in a position to date. I need to deal with this first. I need to break this off, figure, you know, because clearly if people who struggle, like, you know, if that was the litmus test for no, I can't date,
yeah.
people would never be dating or getting right. married or anything. So somehow you can do yeah. this well. What yeah. did that look like for you?
Yeah. Well, so I started going to counseling before I started dating mm-hmm. My girlfriend. And I...
Way to preempt it. Good job.
Yeah.
Sounds like me.
I did feel like I needed to get some things under control first.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was bad for a while. I mean, I was also traveling at the time for my work, and we would go into these schools and churches and speak all the time, and it was affecting me there. And I was like, all right, this is affecting me in all facets of my life right now. So, mm-hmm. So I decided to go to counseling, and honestly, I never felt ready necessarily to go into the relationship. I felt like I was in a much better place, and it wasn't affecting me as much as it used to, and I was getting a little bit better sleep at night, and I wouldn't have as bad of kind of mini panic attacks when something would happen. But I still like knew going into the relationship, and she was very aware, by the way, like the entire time. She was kind of a friend that walked me through a lot of that, which is partially why we're dating. But I had to get some of that stuff under control, and then I just said, you know what? I'm never going to probably be as good as I want to be, or I'm always going to be dealing with something. So I feel like I'm in a healthy spot now where at least even if I encounter anxiety, I do know how to handle it a little bit better, kind of like you were saying, Savannah, about like just coping with the anxiety. I had developed a bigger tool belt to cope with that. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try and enter into this. And so made the decision to ask her out, and we're still dating almost a year later. And she's been very instrumental in helping me through and helping me cope with some of that anxiety when it comes on, and helping me like look at it quicker. Okay. and narrowing down like what's the actual problem here, what was the trigger moment mm-hmm. That caused me to start spiraling And so she's been a big help through that as well. But yeah, I never really felt like, hey, I'm all better now. I can get into her relationship. I just kind of said, you know what? I feel a lot better. I have some tools. She's been a huge help. And so let's just go for it.
See, okay. I feel like that's kind of an important piece that people with anxiety need. Like, you can be in a space where you're too mentally unstable to be in a relationship. But I feel like people with anxiety kind of need someone alongside them to say, like, hey, look, there's a bigger picture out here that you're not seeing, or there's, you know, let's think outside of your reality right now. And think, you know, we kind of need to be pulled out of our own.
Well, and I'm a verbal processor too. And so it was very helpful to have someone that I knew had my best interest in mind to be able to just say, hey, this is, you're not probably going to know how to respond to this, but this is what I'm experiencing right now. I just need you to listen. And then if I ask for it or whatever the case may be, like offer some insights, be able to speak truth over me. Because that was oftentimes what I was dealing with, is I was believing things that were not true. But yeah, so that's a good point. It was very helpful.
Okay. So to what extent, let's help both people who are struggling with an anxiety or depression, and as well as the people who are dating or maybe dating them, to what extent should a person be brought into this experience with you? I mean, obviously, Logan, for you, it worked well, but what, I mean, you know, again, it's kind of like when we talk about someone's issue in another area, about like, you don't just sit down for your first coffee date and be like, let me just detail my history with depression and anxiety, you know, and the person's like, excuse me, check please. But at some point, this does have to be a part of your story, and you have to share who you are. What would you say is a great practical way of letting a person in incrementally to that part of your story?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind, it doesn't answer it fully, but if you think of a relationship on a continuum, you can go on a few dates and then you're a dating couple, you know, in a relationship. So, I mean, to be transparent in the dating, going on dates phase, is a little different than we're kind of a committed couple. We're not seeing anybody else and we're trying to figure out if this has got the trajectory to go to marriage. Somewhere shortly after that, defining that relationship, there really needs to be a pretty full disclosure because it's going to be readily apparent pretty quickly. And so better to bring it up proactively than to have to deal with it reactively. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, and I know for me, well, one, it did help that I was friends with her before we started dating. But even other people that I let into my circle about that, I mean, it started off very small. Like I just said, even something simple like, I'm dealing with anxiety and I haven't been sleeping that well. Like, you don't have to get into any of the details about why you're dealing with anxiety, or just like it's helpful to know, you know, someone else is in my corner and they don't even know the full context, but they can be praying for me, or they can just ask me about it. And then as you start to build that trust up over time, then you can start to say, oh, I'm experiencing anxiety because this just happened, and then get a little bit more detailed. But I mean, like, I started off small with some of my friends, just like, I'm dealing with anxiety. I'm not really going to talk about all the ins and outs of it and what exactly is going on. But hey, if you could be praying for me, I'm not sleeping well. That would be great. So, and then just slowly ramp it up from there.
I think in terms of dating, like the first relationship that I was in, you know, a couple of years ago, it started out small of just, you know, I sometimes deal with anxiety because that's pretty much what it was at that point. And then when that ended, I kind of spiraled and went through a really serious phase of anxiety and panic attacks and all of that. The guy that I'm dating now, he kind of telling the story of that relationship, it was kind of centered around my anxiety. And so it was kind of when I decided it was appropriate to tell him about that relationship and what had happened in there and why it ended and all of that, the anxiety was kind of just wrapped up in that for me.
Okay. Let's also talk a little bit again, two sides of the same coin. You're in a relationship and you realize you see yourself having that downward spiral. Something's happening. You're hitting a low. I had a friend, a good friend of mine, who actually had her family circle around her and say, we think that for the time being, we're going to have to meet with the doctor about maybe some medication now to move into this, because it's affecting your family relationships. It's affecting, and for a season, that's what she had to do. So context like that, you realize you're not doing well and or the person who's dating someone who realizes this person I'm dating is not in a good place. And maybe I've thrown a couple things out there. Maybe I've said, you know, in a caring way, what's going on? What have you, consider? What can we do? Whatever. And they're either in denial or whatever. How do you navigate that space? What conversations need to happen? How do you lovingly speak truth to yourself and speak truth to another person to move, you know, I mean, really, this is even beyond dating. This is like just a brother or sister in Christ. How are you?
Yeah.
How do you help yourself and or the person you're in a relationship with?
I think for me, like when I'm in that healthy space, that's when I have to have the conversation with the people around me to say, when you start noticing, because my friends at this point, they know what to look for and they recognize the signs. And so I have to let them know like ahead of time, like, okay, if you start seeing those things happen, like I need you to have that honest conversation with me, because me not in my right mind, I'm not going to, you know, come to you. Like, you have to be able to recognize the signs. You have to be able to be brave enough to like come to me and say, hey, like, here's what I see. Here's what I've noticed. Here's what's going on. And not be afraid that like, I'm not going to respond well. Like, you just have to go for it.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I like about what you said is, in a time of non-crisis, you went to your friends and gave them permission.
Right.
Now they come back to you. And even if you're not in a good place and you might resist it otherwise, you're like, wait a minute.
I
remember that.
That
conversation, and they're doing what I asked them to do.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I do think as well, looking at the history was helpful for me, meaning like, so you have a conversation when you're in a good place and be like, hey, this is something that I deal with. Look for this and this. Looking at how they react, even when you did poorly too in the past, that was very helpful for me, in that every time I would experience some kind of anxiety, I just emotionally shut down. That's how it first manifests itself. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm not going to let you in at all. But one thing that I learned through counseling was like trying to push through that and still share anyways. And so what I did is I started sharing, and I kind of kept note of like every time I shared, what was the reaction like of it, my girlfriend? Like, how did she respond to this? Because my fear is that she's not going to respond well, and that she's going to be like, wow, you're crazy, and I don't understand this at all. Why are you doing this? But there hasn't been a time where she's actually done that. So I can look at, say, hey, last time I did this thing and I was kind of spiraling and I told you about it, you actually responded with a lot of grace and love, and you really cared for me in that moment. Oh, and then it happened again. Maybe this time I can be a little bit more comfortable sharing with you, because I know you're going to respond well. So like it starts to build up even more trust over time there. So being willing to look objectively at your past and look at how people have responded and how certain situations have gone can really inform and encourage you in sharing and kind of breaking through that wall in the future as well.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so just as we kind of finish out here today, let's give folks, let's start with the person who is really, you know, who struggles. Maybe they are right now, maybe not, but they want to be in a relationship. They want to date. Something's been, you know, maybe this has been holding them back. They don't think it's possible for them to navigate a relationship healthily. What do they need to have in their arsenal now? What does it look like for them to build up, kind of, you know, get the playing field ready in their own? I mean, Logan's example of, he did counseling long before he was in a relationship, started that. Savannah had conversations. What are other things that people can do to say, I'm ready, I'm getting what I need in place to be able to bring another person into my life?
I think other than information about depression or anxiety or whatever, I think honesty with God. God, You're the first place I go to when I have needs. When that's not sufficient, I go to my friends and family. When that's not sufficient, I go to my pastors and my mentors. And when that's not sufficient, I need to be honest with a professional. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know this is my team, okay? If it's sufficient just to have friends and family and my relationship with God, that's fine. But if I need more, I need to seek more. But that having confidence in my team helps me to be able to approach a relationship with confidence, that I'm not going to just put it all on them, you know?
Yeah, I think you need to have people in your corner that know what's going on. Maybe not to the fullest extent, some more than others, but you need to have some people that know. And I think you need to learn how to identify what is causing the anxiety, or, you know, if you start spiraling down, like what just happened, and learning how to identify that quickly can be very helpful in being able to cope with it moving forward.
I think coming from, you know, my kind of background and experience, prayer was huge for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a very non-emotional person to begin with. So like going to my family or my friends or the people around me, I wasn't always going to make that step because that's a very vulnerable thing to do. And mm-hmm. it's very, there's an emotional element to it that I'm not that person. But the one thing that I was comfortable with and could do and actually saw like results from was prayer. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. coming, you know, before the Lord and saying, I don't exactly know what's going on. I don't exactly know what I'm feeling, because that's a huge thing in anxiety as well, is you kind of know what you're feeling, but you kind of don't. And it's like, well, I feel this and I feel this, but I don't really know what those combined are. And it's just a big mix of confusion. And so just coming before the Lord and saying, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know what you're doing. So just let it be.
Yeah, that's good. I really liked what you said, Savannah, about the whole idea of like, yeah, when you're in a good place, figure out as much about you, do as much as you can and have the conversations right. that you can. Because as a person who, one of my dear friends really struggles with depression and actually had a, she like so just thought that it was her. She thought she had her good side and her bad side, and just whatever side was playing that day was the side. She didn't know what it was like to be free from feeling the darkness, you know, and she actually got tricked into, I say she got tricked into taking antidepressants for, it was actually for another medical condition. And all of a sudden she realized, this cloud has lifted and has been gone for like a month. Oh my goodness, why do I feel differently? Whatever. But now looking back on it, she says, I would encourage anyone to say, get whatever resource, whatever help you can, whatever. She just didn't know what she had to go after or what to look for. But, you know, I wanted to just tell her straight up, girl, you need to get something, you know, but that wouldn't have gone over well. So, but I think the prayer thing is so huge too. And just being able to say, whatever you're believing, whatever you're not believing, I'm still in your corner. I'm praying for you, however this plays out. And so when she was able to get some relief and some freedom from that, we could rejoice together too. So it's good to have cheerleaders in that. Thanks, you guys, so much for being honest and sharing what's really, I think, going to be helpful to our peeps. So awesome.